Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, this is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And this is Season 7 of Better Let Me Tell You.
It is 289.
Look at that. You guys are rock stars.
the whole episode count is always a thing. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, it's episode 226. And no, it's like 270 something.
Yeah.
So this will be our cold opening.
Yes, okay. It will be our cold open. Absolutely.
So with that said, welcome everybody to episode 289 of Better Let Me Tell You.
We're closer here. To 300.
Closer to 300.
Yeah.
And you may hear an additional voice today.
Uh-oh.
Well, if you don't, then you're the problem because there is an additional person here.
Can you imagine?
So I would hope like, no, I don't, like, I don't hear her.
I hear
at
nothing.
Knock it right.
So we have the great Vanessa James with us today, and she is going to be our co-host for the next hour, and She's going to be joining us on all the Pero Talk and all the everything and nothing that we talk here on Pero Let Me Tell You.
Yep.
So. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm in the cuevita.
En la cuevita.
Yes. I made it.
In the studio. And this has been, we've been planning this for a while, but you know, logistics get in the way.
Yeah logistics. Logistics, AKA your studio is in Kendall and I live far.
Yeah. Well, far Miami Beach. It's not like you live in Broward.
No, listen. Can we just get this out of the way? So I'm a Broward girl, true and true.
Yeah.
And I used to always like have friends who were from Miami and they'd be like, "Ay, but you live in Broward. I know I can't visit. It's too far."
Oh, we say that all the time.
And I'm like, I never really got it until I moved to Miami. And I'm like, if my parents didn't live there, I don't know how often I'd be up, especially in North Broward. But I get it now.
Yeah. But you know what, though?
It's the traffic, not the distance.
It's like driving to Orlando, Vanessa. I'm like, relax.
Right. But you know the thing about Broward is that Broward mentally is further away than what it is. Because
it's very mentally
especially if
away.
You live like in the beach or in downtown.
Yeah. Right.
You know, my parents are from Kendall. And when I lived downtown, my parents would be like, "Oh my God, you're going to Broward." I'm like, "Mom, Broward is 24 miles away.
Yeah.
Our house is 22 miles away, like going west.
Yes.
Broward is 25 going north.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing, but mentally, it's the I-95 that kills it.
It is, and it's all the traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Traffic
does
not
help. Do we know
help.
Yet, guys, where all the people are coming from with
Narnia.
All this traffic? Narnia.
It's just a big wardrobe somewhere. It's just,
right. Yeah. But we did, we discussed the other day that because it's South Florida, mm-hmm. it's not a wardrobe. It's un escaparate. That's
okay.
What Cubans call it, un escaparate. They don't say a wardrobe. Anyway, so thank you so much for being here. Okay. We hope we have a lot of fun with this. And it's funny because
I just love the fact because you do voiceover.
I do,
and I love that you're just one more in our continued long line of inviting guests who sound better than we do.
Okay.
on recording because yeah. it's like, you know, we've had you, we've had Lucy Lopez, we've had Louis Aguirre, we've had Boris Sanchez. Like,
uh-oh.
I mean, we yeah. really just like bringing people on who make us sound bad.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
Well, really, it's about them. It's not about
it
us.
It is. It is.
So it's, you know.
It is.
You've had royalty. You had Miami radio and TV royalty on.
We have. Yes, we have.
Amazing.
And we are continuing that with you.
Yes. Thank yes.
You. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And Lucy was our guest, and then she's co-host. Yeah. Every time we're out, we mm-hmm. could like co- Oh, because that's the thing. We never miss an episode. Our episodes, as you know, they're every week. Yeah. And if something comes up with one of us, we do co-hosts.
Oh, okay. I love it.
Because, you know, we got to give
all about consistency.
Yes. You know, it's funny that people always ask us, oh, what's the best advice you have for a podcast?
Yeah.
And we always tell them that consistency.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many podcasts do you like that it's like, okay, are they having an episode next week? Yeah, or they go away for like months and then they come back? And
yeah. People yeah. need the pero.
Yeah. The pero. I like that. People need the pero. I like that.
That's
I like
a t-shirt.
That. So,
that's a t-shirt.
So how is everybody? How is everybody's week this week?
I think everybody's doing good.
We're a Broward girl. And one of the things that we've talked about a few times here, but I think even being from Broward, you would appreciate this, or from Broward originally. How long have you been living in Miami City proper?
City proper.
Or Miami-Dade County.
Miami-Dade County taxes have been being paid since 2014.
Okay, so yeah. It's been 10 years.
It's a great way
but
again, yeah.
But you were from South Florida to begin with. So
yes.
Broward yes. is Broward Semantics. Is the same metropolitan area. As much as we like to talk about like Broward
marketing wise, it's the same DMA.
Right, it's the same metropolitan area,
South
so whatever.
South Florida.
Yes. So,
yeah.
What is your take? Because it's something we struggle with all the time,
okay.
and we've talked about here on the show before. What is your take on all this influx from up north to Miami?
Well, you know, I thought they were going to just come. They obviously flocked here from all walks of the earth during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we thought, okay, you know, great. You came, you had your fill, right. and now you're out. They never left. They mean everybody. It's not one particular license plate. It's everyone. Every license plate everywhere. I just saw Guam.
Guam?
I saw Guam in Miami Beach.
My first instinct was like they have cars in Guam.
They have cars in Guam. And also Hawaii. Cars are here, which is really strange to me. So, I mean, here's the thing. I am all about, you know, arms wide open. Come all, come one, come all. Bring your flavor. Bring your sauce. Bring your stuff. But two things. One, when the traffic becomes unbearable, like we're officially there. We're officially LA, yeah. New York status traffic-wise. Like, it's insane. If I didn't plan to come here today and leave where I was in the Gables at 3 o'clock, I was like, okay, how am I going to get here in time for the show? Mm. That's how bad traffic has gotten. But the second thing is, I do think that with all of that, it has kind of driven out some of the local South Florida people who are used to, you know, who have really like culturally made the places in Broward, Wynwood, all of those places really, you know, special. Mm-hmm. It's driven them out because of the rising rents. It's like a thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know that. And I do think that it's kind of had its negative effect. We've had amazing restaurants come in. I've swiped the card at a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And an influx of a lot of awesome new culture, but also it sucks like when you live on Miami Beach to see how many people can't afford to live there that work there, mm-hmm. that clean the hotels and
you
know what I'm saying? And clean and take care of us, you know, at all the bars and restaurants, but they have to drive all the way west at home. And that's what's making the traffic mm-hmm. bad because you've made their rent so unbearable. So of course every city has their thing, but I don't know if we could ever get like a metro rail to and from the beach, but something is needed because the traffic is insane. And it's not just a beach thing, because getting to Kendall,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
it's both ways. Yeah. It's
yeah,
it's both.
I think if the metro rail ever went anywhere useful,
yeah.
I would plot. Like I would, it would be like, you know what? And the next day is the apocalypse. Like that's
exactly.
just,
you know, it's funny. I ask you that because again, we've talked about this about that here on the show. But just today,
mm-hmm.
I was scrolling, you know, on Instagram as one does, and there was this girl. I showed him the video before we started recording. That she's like, oh, here are the top five neighborhoods in Miami, mm-hmm. and the third one she mentioned was Coconut Grove. And she was saying, you know, Coconut Grove is very up and coming. And I'm like, woman. Coconut Grove was Coconut Grove before Miami was incorporated in 1896. What are you talking about? Bahamians have been in Coconut Grove since like...
They built... By the way, shout out to all the Bahamians listening, because you guys and your ancestors and your grandpas built Miami.
Yes.
Like, the physical structures, the 95, all the things.
They are the OGs here. They are really the OGs here.
Legit. Who never get enough credit. So shout out to all my Goombay fans.
I think it's like the natives and then the Bahamians.
Yes. So true.
And just when you see stuff like that or you hear stuff like that from like these influencers, it's like really infuriating because you're erasing sort of the work that has been done before you. And,
200%.
You know, as we know, South Florida was built on immigration. But what was that? Everybody that came here contributed something to the culture. And I don't see that with all the influx of like, whether it's New Yorkers or, as you said, everybody else
that
came down here. What did I tell you about the other day? That I met somebody, you know, we're talking, oh, where are you from? I'm like, oh, I'm a Miami boy. She's like, you know, oh, you're like a unicorn. There's hardly any of you here. And I was like, yes, there is. And she's like, no, there is. No, it was very rare. I'm like, not really. She's like, yeah. And I was like, literally all my family, all my friends, all from here. And as I kept talking to her, she's like, no, because, you know, 20 years ago, I came here, you know, and my first apartment was in Brickell. And I'm like, I found the problem.
Yeah.
There you go.
Your first apartment was Brickell?
Because you didn't, because she never lived
in
Miami proper, quote unquote, right? Yeah. Like, she kind of just showed up in Brickell, which is very transient.
It's very transient.
And that's all she knows. Yeah. So now that's like that 6-block radius.
That's her
is Miami.
Bandwidth of Miami. That's wild.
I never, ever, like, engage with people on Instagram in terms of dialogue back and forth, like arguing. I just don't. I'm you can't. But every now and then,
I was gonna say, when he's kind of lying.
Every now and then, there was this guy who I don't need to name him, but he's like a big influencer about the whole New York, come down to South Florida and, you know, make millions of dollars and this and that, like that type of stuff. And I was like, you know, today's the day.
Today is the day. I had time today.
Today is the day that this is going down.
And so what'd you say?
He was saying, because he posted a video. And then, of course, all the yes men in the video were like, yeah, bro, yeah, yeah. He was like, oh, the first time I came to Miami was
exactly who you're talking about.
Was in 2008, 2009.
You probably commented on that video,
and
too.
And everything was boarded up. And I... Is it the same one?
Exactly who you're talking
about. And he's
about.
Like, oh, and everything was boarded up. And I'm like, okay, no. This is where I'm stopping what I'm doing. And I did this. I'm not going to be passive on. And I was like, I'm sorry, but I've lived here practically all my life. And Miami has gone through bad times like any other city. Miami has never gone through a situation where it was boarded up.
No.
Because in the 08, 09, that the whole country was going through the foreclosure crisis, including Miami. Miami got hit really hard.
Yeah.
All those houses that people were losing in foreclosure, there were investors buying them up immediately in the courthouse. And I know because I used to do foreclosure defense at that time.
And I know because my mom was a realtor at that time, and people were like calling, selling their houses for nothing, trying to get, just to avoid short sale.
So it wasn't a situation that houses were being boarded up.
No.
So then I said
He came and he's our savior. He fixed it.
Yes. And now,
who knew?
And now he's like, oh, Miami's like out next to LA. So I said that to him, you know, being a native, I have receipts. And he's like, oh, it was boarded up. I'm like, no, it wasn't.
What block were you on?
And we went back and forth.
Like, we went one block.
We went back and forth. And then the dialogue turned into like, listen, if we welcome people from everywhere, but you need to understand that Miami is much more than east of I-95.
Have you seen it's a viral clip. I don't remember I don't remember the personality's name, but he's being interviewed and she's asking him a question. She's like, oh, but where are you from? She goes, oh, you're from Florida, right? He goes, no.
Oh yeah.
I'm from Miami.
Yes.
She goes, no, but in Florida. He goes, no, but I'm from Miami. I'm from Dade County.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we are so prideful, and it's not just a Dade County. Yes. A Dade County thing, but like South Florida thing. It doesn't matter. I'm from Trinidad originally. Mm-hmm. And same thing, came up at 2 years old to the USVI and then to South Florida. And this is my place. I've gone away and come back, And this is home. As soon as I see the port, You know, you're flying in. I'm like, home. It doesn't matter where I went. Home. So that's how I know. So we're very prideful about our city, about our county. And when I'd be ready to throw hands when people want to talk about Miami. Yeah. Come on, what's up?
Especially when people are like, you know, Florida hasn't had, as a state, hasn't had a great track record recently. That I'm like, yes, that's Florida, but we're Miami.
We're Miami, South Florida. We're different.
It's different.
Yes.
But yeah, I went back and forth with this guy. And I'm like, listen, you know, like cuisine, you have to understand the culture and the melting pot that is food and cuisine. In Miami and where people eat. And he's like, well, you know, me and my friends, we eat at Carbone all the time. And I'm like, really? Carbone? A New York restaurant?
We love Carbone. It's delicious. Yeah. I will rub the spicy rigatoni on my body. Yes. It's that good. But does it mean that it's not a Miami native restaurant? Right.
It's a restaurant that is like New York.
Yeah.
Like, that is the point of the restaurant.
You might as well say that you love that Chicago cuisine from McDonald's.
Yeah. Well, that's not the same as Carbone.
But I'm saying, like, you're talking about something that is not of a place, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So
now you gotta have Mario calling you, like, "Excuse me, you talking shit about Carbone on your podcast?"
I mean, listen, well, if they want to invite us over to Carbone.
I mean,
I love the spicy rigatoni too.
Listen, the spicy rigatoni is where it's at. Shout out to Carbone. Sorry,
it has some witchcraft in it.
It does. There's something going on in there.
Yeah, for sure. There's something going on in the back that we can't see because it's really that good.
It is Miami. It's probably just some Santeria.
Probably. By the way, so Marcos and I, my fiance, we're driving to Brickell yesterday, and we just finished talking about Brickell, but we're driving to Brickell to go have dinner, and we pass by it, and we're stopping, and it's right there at the end of Miami Ave when you take the 395, I don't know what that, I think it's the Miami Ave exit after 395. You come down, and you're getting ready to go, like, to the little fairway before the bridge. There's three roosters.
Oh, yeah.
Chilling.
Oh, yeah.
They're not in traffic. But they're there, and they're not crossing. They're just chilling. People are throwing food out the window to them, and this is very commonplace for Miami and clearly very commonplace for the roosters because they're like, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, straight, I'm looking, and I'm like, wait a minute. I actually have the video. Is it roosters? And I'm looking. There's roosters, and the music's playing. I feel like the roosters were dancing. It was a whole scene.
Yeah.
It's very Miami.
If you know, you know. It's very Miami.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, look, every city has their thing. You know, New York has a million different, I feel New York is a living and walking meme. Yeah. So is Miami. But again, you know, you're going to move here from somewhere else. Like, look, I went to school up in the Midwest in Michigan, and I was right by Detroit. Mm. I left Michigan that I could, like, give tours on the city of Detroit because I was living by there. So I wanted to really learn the culture and the history and what made it what it made it. And I have books and books on it. And because I feel that if you're going to live someplace else, you got to learn the culture and what it meant to other people that were there before you.
And embrace and appreciate it.
Like, I'm not going west of the I-95 corridor. Yeah, like, what is Westchester? Yeah. What is Kendall? You
know? Well, they probably think Westchester's the one in New York.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely been gentrified a lot, and to the point where, like, it is kind of sad, though.
It is.
To drive through Wynwood, and now you're like, wait.
I know.
So that used to be the most amazing bar on a Sunday night. Used to be able to go and just grab beer and just hang and, you know, and now there's a sky rise there.
Yeah.
And there. And that's what's kind of wild. I think you really see the change in Wynwood.
What worries me the most is, like, Hialeah and Alapata and Little Haiti.
Little
Haiti, because Little Haiti, especially, you're talking about people that, like, their great grandparents bought that house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And now, you know, it's all about the land elevation.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were a little bit higher than the rest of the city. Mm-hmm. And it's getting gentrified a mile a minute, nobody is stopping it. And so is Alapata. Have you been to Hialeah recently?
No.
Hialeah is getting high rises.
Well, wait. I heard. What?
Yes.
I heard that I know of that warehouse district in Hialeah where they wanted to rename it Little Brooklyn or the and the Hialeahans. Do you remember that?
Yeah. So what happened is that they were building like a condo community,
yeah.
like 10, 12 stories. And the way they advertised it online and in their, like, stuff was that it's that everybody down here calls it the New Brooklyn.
New Brooklyn.
And that you can walk to Coral Gables.
No. Should I mean Hialeah
te conozco? Because that is.
Oh, that's a long walk. That's fine.
I mean, technically you can, but you know.
Take you a couple hours. Yeah. But no, I just remember how much that was rejected. Like, absolutely not. We love Brooklyn, but this ain't it.
No, yeah.
No.
Brooklyn is Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is Brooklyn for a reason. So.
Listen, we knew things were changing when they finally put that Starbucks on La Calle Ocho.
Uh-oh.
In Little Havana.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I like my Starbucks. I got the app.
Of course.
But you don't belong here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In this little stretch.
Yeah, like, that's all, keep like, yeah. some things, yeah. you know, local. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's done a really good job with that. I mean, I know you guys don't venture to Broward too much, but in Broward, so City of Lauderhill, they have, it's very Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
You know, lots of different Caribbean cultures there, Haitian, Jamaican, Bahamian. And so they have an entire new strip. If you drive down there on 441 and Sunrise Boulevard and a little bit north to Oakland Park, they have, it looks like Little Caribbean. So like all the houses are in different colors. I'm talking about on the main street.
Yeah.
All the businesses, you know, and they kind of made it this like Caribbean, let's say like, Boulevard. Mm-hmm. But it's really cute. So there, I feel like when a city wants to embrace the people that live there, they know how to do
of
it.
Course,
when
of course.
When there's investors that don't care about the people that live there, it's very epic.
And build, you know?
And
generic,
that's what has happened to Wynwood.
Yeah. Yeah. Generic high rises.
Absolutely.
You know. No, absolutely.
That, by the way, we were driving out of Brickell yesterday, and so many say for rent in those giant $50,000 a month high rises that apparently no one can afford to rent.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because everybody's like, oh, let's build. That's great. And who's going to live there?
Who's going to live there?
Because like we were just talking about like all these waiters, they can't afford it.
Yeah.
So they're living...
Hostesses, they can't. Yeah.
Unless it's like five people.
Yeah. And then it is going to be like Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then, yeah, fair point.
So then, yeah, now we're back to Brooklyn. Yes. Full circle.
You know, now that you mentioned earlier that you're originally from Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes.
And that your husband is Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
So... you're the perfect person to talk about this because I've actually wanted to talk about this for a while. There's people who have a hard time believing that Caribbean culture is a thing.
Like, have they not spoken to me? Have they not ever met me or con hello, hi?
Because you know what? Sometimes, you know, us Cubans, we get a rap for being a little bit like... having certain exceptionalism, which we do.
We do.
That we think, you know, we're better than everybody, which we
I wouldn't even say it's better. They're just like, oh, there's other Spanish cultures that exist. Oh, there's other countries.
Yes.
I mean, islands in the Caribbean that exist.
Yes. Yeah. A little bit of that.
Hi, guys. Yes.
But, you know, usually you will hear from like Cubans, Dominicans, and Puerto Ricans,
sure.
right? But there's a lot more Caribbean in
there.
So that's why, like, I think you're a perfect person to talk to about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I explain to people a lot of time, usually the Anglo folk, that I'm like, listen, you know, people from the Caribbean, yes, most of us are Latin and we share a lot of common values with like Latin America, but Caribbean culture is very, very different.
Yes.
You know, from the food to how we speak to just different things. So
but let me stop you, DJ. Most of us are not Latin. Mm-hmm. In the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, there's Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
there's the DR, there's Cuba, but then there's like 27 other islands
yes.
that make up the 41 million people that right. live in the Caribbean.
Hello,
I would put on my Trinidadian accent for you, N.E.T., and let you know that it is very multicultural and it is a plethora of I'm very passionate about Caribbean culture.
Yes. See, I asked the right person.
That you asked the right person, though. Come with that. No. I say that to say that I am so prideful about Caribbean culture, and I do feel like, unlike anywhere else in the world, as many different places as I've traveled, if I go to Cuba, the DR, Suriname, Trinidad, Guyana, Barbados, I mean, Martinique, St. Lucia, St. Martin, and you hopscotch the Caribbean, I feel like I'm literally hanging with my cousins. Mm-hmm. We all are basically, you know, populated at those islands at different times, but there's so much interconnectivity between people that are like of the Caribbean. It's the weirdest, most amazing thing.
It is. That's what I try to tell people.
Very similar in our food, in our customs, in our culture, in our carnival. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Like even Cuba has a carnival. I just found this out.
Yeah.
Huge carnival.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
But that's what I'm saying. That like, I think that for us, I certainly feel more commonality with the Caribbean culture mm-hmm. than in our case, since we are also Latin, with the Latin culture.
Gotcha.
You know, we're always late.
We love a nice scotch and agua de coco. That's how we break the ice.
We can't be too far from the ocean.
Wait, I got a good one. We say that the party is just a few people.
Oh, yeah.
And then the baby shower is 70 people. I'll never forget going to Marcos's. We had just started dating. And he's like, oh, you know, come meet the family. A year later, come meet the family. And then I go meet the family. He's like, intimate gathering. I get there, full band,
mm-hmm.
DJ, and about 45 people for a baby shower. I'm like, this is how y'all Cubans roll? We are family. Let's go. Because it just, it feels like, okay, it feels like home. It's very, and they love it. Because for like, now all the Cubans are like, when's your mom, when's your mom's next party? Because my dad is in a band. He loves paranda. And so so my family has a lot of Venezuelan roots as well. And paranda is a really big thing. In Trinidad, they call it parang, and it's called paranda in, you know, a lot of the other islands. Well, he's 70 and decided that he wanted to start a band.
And as now one does at 70. Good for him.
Exactly. And so now it's become this whole big thing. And again, it's a small gathering. It's a small line, but it's 125 people, you know, parked all around the neighborhood.
But in our defense, that's just first cousins.
It's just first cousins.
125 is just first cousins.
And they're plus ones.
Right. Exactly. Right. So it is intimate in that sense.
Super intimate. Yeah. No, but I love that. I honestly love that about us. And it doesn't matter where you go in the world. Like, Caribbean people are really special. Mm-hmm. We have to get, you know, that's why we vibe.
And we have great food. We do. Yeah, nothing is small.
No. No.
And we take 2 hours to say goodbye.
Yeah, we do. It's good to see you. Good to see you. So good to see you.
There's a process. You know, you announce that you're going to say goodbye. Then you get up. Then the kitchen. And then the door. The door is the one that takes the longest. You're by the door, like, whatever,
okay,
talking.
Yeah. And then don't forget something. I have to go back inside.
Right, yes. And then you go back inside. And then, you know, we start the process all over again.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's why we're always late to places, because we cannot leave.
And you know what? Like, you did a really good job of describing it, probably better than I did, because like when I talk to people that are not Caribbean, it's very hard for me to describe, you know, because the Caribbean is so different but similar at the same time, that I'm like, no, it's Caribbean culture. Yeah. What is Caribbean culture? I'm like, Caribbean culture, you know?
Well, for instance, like, let's think about our adoration and love, unlike any other place, I would say, besides Africa, our love for platanos.
Yes.
Our love for maduros.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like, it doesn't matter if you're Cuban, Dominican, from St. Lucia, Barbados, Tobago, your love for plantain. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
I never thought about that.
Think about our connectivity alone through plátano maduro.
I think that is going to be when somebody's like, what is Caribbean culture? I'm like, we love plátanos.
No, but collectively, our love for plátanos. Like, when you say plátano, you're like, okay, plantain, fried plantain, and then you just smile. Because it's like,
Yes.
Yeah.
In all its forms, in all its glory.
It doesn't matter. And don't talk shit about it. Yeah.
It's a very versatile.
Can we cuss here? I didn't
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
Oh, I wasn't sure. Okay.
Yeah, and of course, coconuts, and as you know.
I'm very affectionate about coconut as well, for many reasons.
And there's so, you know, it's also external funny, joke. Which I think it's also a Caribbean thing, that you make like a memelada or like... like candied or like dessert out of like fruit, like oranges or like citrus.
Oh, yeah. And
like
tamarind.
Yes, tamarindo.
Out in domingo. Yes.
Yeah, it's all those things that when you sit down and talk about them and you list them, it's like, this is very distinctly Caribbean.
Yeah.
It's very.
I think for a long time too, DJ, I used to maybe, you know, growing up and trying to assimilate to become American. You know, I always, I mean, you could not be prideful about being Caribbean in my household, because it was like, that's what it was. It was put some respect on our Caribbean culture.
Yeah.
But also wanting to assimilate, maybe I lost a little bit of that, like in my teens and going away to college and all that. And then when I refound it, I remember being at Florida State and like somebody, there was a CSA. I'm like, wait a minute, they're playing reggae and soca? And those are my people. And reggaeton? Mm-hmm. Let me go over there with those people. So you find your people no matter where you go.
So that's exactly my trajectory.
Yeah, he went through the exact same
thing. Rejected being Cuban, being Latin, Caribbean, whatever, most of my teenage and early adult life.
Right.
I rejected it because I always felt... like I remember on TV, I would watch sitcoms, you know, in the 80s and early 90s. And I'm like, that's not my family.
Yeah. because there was no representation of us.
We don't eat that. We don't talk like that. So I don't know if maybe that's why, but I really felt it. I didn't feel it. When I went to Michigan for law school,
you felt it.
I was like, wait. I was like telling everybody, I'm Cuban.
Yeah.
No.
Don't let them try to tell you anything else.
And then when you would find not even other Cubans, just whether it's Caribbean folk, anybody, it's like,
all of a sudden you find your folk.
You're not Anglo? God.
Yes.
Let's be best friends.
Yes.
Like,
you just bonded.
And it really... Yeah. I went through the same thing that I'm like, I'm not that. Yeah. I don't need to assimilate. Yeah. Yeah, no.
That's when you realized you're not white.
Yes. Yes. Wait, what did I, the other day when it said, we said something really funny. I was like, I knew I wasn't white when, what was it?
It's almost here.
You mean?
Yep, our favorite tradition is back. The fair. It starts March 14th through April 7th.
Yes! Okay, and this year's theme is Space Venture. And I've seen the new ride called the X-Drive. Bro, that thing is like the kamikaze on steroids.
Oh yeah, that's pretty insane. And of course, there's the exhibits and new shows this year like the Amazing Bubble Factory and Space Adventure Thrill Show.
Okay. Okay. Rides, exhibits, shows. I mean, that's all good, but we know what our pet opening most want to hear about.
The food. Dale, what can we look forward to?
Okay, are you ready? Korean corn dog, cinnamon roll sundae, banana cream pie nachos, elote sundae, Angela's pineapple and guava pizza, cheeseburger on a stick, buffalo chicken fries, and more.
Coño. Wow. Oye, new rides, shows, and food. Visit fairexpo.com to get entrance and ride tickets. Then enjoy them all at the fair from March 14th through April 7th, okay? You know we gotta say it.
Be there.
The fair.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Oh, God, I don't know.
There's a few.
He's the one with a good memory, and if you don't remember, then estamos mal.
Like, that I didn't like A&W root beer.
Oh, yes.
Yes, root beer.
Because I remember when I went up in Michigan.
I like cream soda, though.
When I went up in Michigan, they had like the A&W shops, yes, and I'm like, I am going to like root beer. And I remember, I'm like, I don't.
Just try. Now, what about the floats? Because you know they're big on the floats up there with the ice cream and the root beer.
No. I mean, Cubans do, I don't know if anybody else does, una malta preparada.
Okay.
Which is
una malta.
With condensed milk.
Okay.
But right.
Y'all put condensed milk in everything.
Yeah. It's bad.
My gosh.
That's bad.
Yeah. How more of us don't have diabetes is a mystery.
Yeah.
Like from the womb, I mean.
Isn't it always great to hear un americano trying to say dulce de leche?
I hear that. The dulce say they leche. Oh,
it pisses me off on Food Network because they always say dulce de leche. And I'm like, pick a language.
Yeah.
It's either dulce, which is Italian, which means that then it's dulce de latte, or it's dulce de leche.
Yes.
Stop it.
Figure it out.
And you people are the experts.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you claim to be.
Yeah, you claim to be. Like, somebody gave you a show.
Yeah. I get super, like, passionate, let's say, about that, because like so much so that I created a food and wine experience down here, because I'm like, wait a minute, where are all the amazing Caribbean chefs? Mm-hmm. You never see them, but you have somebody else on TV telling us how to make our own jerk chicken. Mm-hmm. That's wild to me. Or like seeing people, you know, like, wait a minute, so you guys are making congri?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm not saying you have to be Cuban to like throw down in the kitchen to make a good congri, but and then they want to throw like parsley in there and celery.
That's the thing.
And then say, this is how you do it.
Yes.
And so I get really passionate about that.
Yeah. That's a really delicate way of putting it, isn't it?
And it's funny
because that can be so easy remedied, because you could say, this is inspired by X cuisine.
Or you could just actually bring someone from that background on television and let them show you how to make it.
Too. Or that, you know, or that. And if you're going to make it exactly how it is. Not because
look at how much Mexican food has been gentrified. Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Yeah.
Everybody knows how to make tacos better than the Mexicans. And I'm like, really? Yeah. No, you don't. You know?
It's funny because we talk about that here too, that it's just really annoying when people think that because you speak Spanish, you're Mexican.
Right.
And I'm like, that's double offensive. It's offensive.
And it's lazy.
It is. Yeah. It's offensive to be called Mexican if you're not Mexican. And it's offensive if you're Mexican that they're dumbing down your culture. Yes. Such a rich culture.
Very rich.
You know, that people just think Mexican culture are, you know, Taco Bell and tableside guacamole. Yeah.
And Chipotle now.
And Chipotle. I mean, really?
You're fancy.
Premium.
And it's funny. Right. You know, it's bad that we're sort of laughing at that, but there are people who really think that's authentic.
That's crazy. And that's lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the next time you put together one of those experiences that you were just talking about?
It's May 18th.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Okay, so go to VanessaJamesMedia.com.
It's called Food, Wine, and Fet, and it is specifically celebrating Caribbean chefs, Caribbean culture, because it's just not being done.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And you're coming, right?
I mean, I'm gonna move our pop up, yeah.
Move your pop up.
Yeah. Listen, it'd be nice to go sample somebody else's food as opposed to being over our own.
There you go.
We do guava and cheese wings.
What? You do?
Yeah, we do guava and cheese wings with bean pan pollo.
Where do you do this?
This is our side gig.
I need details.
Yeah, so we have pop-ups for chicken wings. Okay. And we have a few flavors, but our signature flavor is guayaba y queso.
Okay.
It's a take on a pastelito de guayaba.
Okay, but it's a wing?
It's a wing. It's in a guava glaze.
Okay, we got to figure out how to get food, wine, and fat, because people would die over that.
I did a queso crema dipping sauce. Yeah.
But is the wing like a dessert?
So the wing is double so I fry the wing Korean style, so it's double fried.
Yum.
So it's like batter, very crispy. Then I did a guava glaze, which has, as I always say, that guava glaze has 14 ingredients.
Wow.
Because it's complex.
Yeah.
And then you dip it in a queso crema dipping sauce.
Wow.
To have a take. And then we were a couple of weeks ago, we were at the South Beach Food and Wine Festival.
I saw.
And we...
You were not just at the Sobe Food and Wine Festival. You were the Sobe Food and Wine Festival. Because, no. It was a takeover.
It was a takeover. It was a lot of work.
I know.
The night we did them, we did... We did a deconstructed pastelito, so we had the wing, the cheese, and then like a puff pastry.
So it was a deconstructed pastelito. So your podcaster's full-time day job, and you are chefs as well.
Yep. Yes. And he's got a kid.
Yes. Okay, and a dog.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I love this, though.
And then we also have other flavors. Like, we have a white Alabama barbecue sauce that we named it Santero.
Oh, my God.
If you know, you know.
It's a religious experience.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, we try to keep it a little local and stuff like that. So yeah.
The naked wing is called the Hallover.
Love it.
But that's definite. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Yeah. If you know, you know. Yeah.
So you got to try those. I think you'll like them.
So where's your pop-up?
So we pop up, we save between from Wynwood to West Kendall and everywhere in between.
And you just pop up like.
And we do Broward too.
Listen up, Broward.
We do Brillhan, which is a mead place up in Broward by Oakland.
Yeah.
Oakland. I love it.
We go there at least once a month.
Okay.
So
I love this. I need to come try your wings. It's happening.
You do.
I will let you know.
Let me know.
I will let you know. I got you. Okay. But you know, let's talk about you though, because you know, like we've hinted at it, and it's like if you know, you just listed off all the things that we do, but like recognizes like, because girl, you do a lot. I mean,
I am from the Caribbean, and you know how we like to have a lot of jobs.
That's true. Yes, we can't be lounging about.
No, it's not a stereotype. Like, I love being busy. Clearly. So, but I started in Miami radio. I used to be programming and on the air at 103.5 The Beat for some time. Shout out to my girl Lucy Lopez, who was at Power for a long time. So we're radio girls. I know she's always on your show, the co-host thing. And then my station flipped in 2010, and that's when I decided, you know what, I'm going to start my own company, because I was already doing some freelance work. So I started Vanessa James Media. That turned into radio imaging stations around the country, which is now 40 stations.
Wow. Nice.
And then I do voiceover full time now. So that's about 60% of my mixed bag of media. And I voiced really cool things. I did Michelle Obama's, it's called Ada Twist Scientist, a children's series on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. The Tamron Hall Show.
The Tamron Hall Show, yes.
Promo work for that. CBS Superfan. The Masked Singer. Like, really cool, amazing.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you.
Pretty good resume.
Thank you. So aside from that, I also host events. I also do a lot of on-camera work, and I'm crazy enough to curate events too. So I do three signature events here in South Florida. VJ Media Mixology, which I don't know how you guys never came to that, because it was all about celebrating creatives. I didn't do it. I haven't done it since the pandemic, but it was all about celebrating creatives and in all walks of media. So you should be there at the next one, which is happening this fall. We have a lot to be invited to.
We're in touch now. We're going to know about everything.
It's official. It's official. And then I do a dinner series, and I do food, wine, and fete. So it's like a love letter to female entrepreneurs, to people in media, and to my Caribbean community. That's what I do.
And we're the busy ones?
I didn't say that I do it alone. I finally decided to hire people, and in my life, I'm able to actually function as a human being now because I believe in assistance. It's like the best thing ever to be able to hire people. So
okay, we need to
That's
get
our
there.
Goal.
Yeah, do that.
That's the goal. Yes. That's the goal. Yes. No, but I got to say, like, I am in awe of you, because I the one thing we always celebrate on this show is people who've just kind of created their own work, right?
Yeah.
Like that they've made themselves.
They made their own lane.
And it's so fascinating to meet people like yourself for that reason alone of just like, damn, how do you do it, right? But also it's that inspiration of like, it's gonna sound a little glib, but it's like, if you can do it, I can do it, right? Like maybe not 17 different things like you are, but you know, I can do 5.
A lot of coladas.
Okay. Well, there you go. So we're already halfway there.
Yeah.
But it's just so, I think it's fucking awesome.
Like, thank you honestly, so much. I appreciate that.
I celebrate that, and I celebrate you. Like,
thank you so much. Sometimes you're like, okay, am I doing, does anybody notice? You know, you're doing all these things, but then you realize it's really not about them noticing. It's you doing it because you love it and because that's what you want your stamp and your legacy to be. And so that's what's, for whatever reason, I just started doing things, and all of a sudden more things started coming my way. And then brands started going, wait, I want to be a part of that thing that you're doing. So that's
it. Also helps you that you have a really good voice.
Thank you so much. Yes.
No, but you have very good energy. I remember I first started noticing you on social media.
Same thing.
Yeah. I was like, she has really good energy, which, you know, on social media, just
that alone.
It's not alone. It's social media. I always joke around with him that I look a lot at posts of food.
Yeah.
I get a lot of ideas and all that. And I'm like, man, the comment section in food is so horrible. Horrible.
People are mean about food.
And it's like,
no reason.
I'm like, it's food. It's food. Like, why? It's just, you know. And
they better not be talking about them guava wings.
No, we've been very lucky.
No, okay. they know. They know better. We've been
very, very lucky.
They know better. So, we'll take names and shame them.
Okay.
So because you are the media mogul that you are. This past week it was the Oscars.
Yes.
And the week before we talked about on the show if, you know, the Oscars were still relevant, if you will. And you know, people always make that comment about award shows in general, but you know, I feel the Oscars, because it's like, I guess, the biggest award show,
the
biggest night, it gets the most scrutiny.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're not nominating the right people or the right people winning from what you're wearing, just everything. So what's your take on something like the Oscars? Do you think that it's still relevant? It's sort of correcting past mistakes, or we just need to burn it down?
Okay, so here's the thing. So as a voiceover actor, I think one of every VO actor's dream, who's specifically in the areas and buckets that I do, which is live announced voice of God, which is Oscars, promo, radio imaging, commercial. I mean, it's a goal to like voice the Oscars. So I pay attention to like those award shows and all of that all the time. I will say though that award shows kind of have gotten a little bit stale. You know, in the 90s and 2000s, like when it was MTV Awards, we would literally, it was like, you know, it was planned Thursday night. This is what we're watching. This is what we're
doing.
Thursday
nights.
Yes. Thursdays. Yep. And now I feel like, maybe, you know, we're kind of outgrowing it. Also, this new generation doesn't necessarily appreciate, you know, the work, the Hollywoodness of it all, maybe that we did. I also think that maybe there's some old heads at the Oscars that don't want to retire. And so
that's probably a little bit of that, too.
You know, knowing a few of those producers, I just feel like at the end of the day, there needs to be more representation, more fresh blood, more fresh creative eyes across all walks of media, because that's what's lacking. You know, we need a Latina executive producer at the Oscars. Show me that. And what does that look and, you know, feel and sound like, that type of thing. And so I think that the Oscars does have a long way to go. I do believe that's the one like sacred part of award shows in Hollywood that they have a very tight grip on keeping that circle tight, if that makes sense. So that's why you continue to see the same hosts, because it's the same agents booking the hosts. It's, you know, it's the Academy. The Academy is made up of a lot of the same people. And so when you do have breakout stars who win, like a Viola Davis, people notice, you know, when, oh my gosh, what is her name that just won last year? Oh my gosh, she's so amazing. She's Latina. She's Afro-Latina. She's one. She's gay. She's fabulous.
Ariana
DeBose. Yeah. You know, so like when actors like that step up and they win, that's, I mean, for me, it's like, okay, we can see ourselves being a part of that, and you feel seen. So, I mean, when you don't feel seen, you don't pay attention and you move on to other things that you feel seen.
And there's so many more options nowadays.
And there's so many more options. So, hey, Oscars, if you're listening, you might want to diversify, because now there's a lot of options of things for us to do that, whereas like prior, it was appointment watching, appointment listening, where there was nothing. It was Oscar night, you know?
Yeah.
Like that era of Joan Rivers.
I do miss that.
Yes,
a little bit.
I do. Yeah. Those red carpet moments.
Joan Rivers couldn't.
Nobody could touch her.
No, but she wouldn't be allowed on that red carpet today.
Oh, I know. And all the glamour, like, of course, it's still there. And obviously, you know, I'm very also cognizant there's a lot of hardworking people behind the scenes that you never see. So, not, you know, Oscars ratings going down affects a lot of people's work.
Sure. Right.
You know, so I hope it continues to thrive. I just want them to diversify. They need to.
I mean, I always watch the Oscars because I'm a movie buff. So I just think that, you know, whenever you hear of criticisms of the Oscars, like not nominating more people of color or all that, I think it's a very fair criticism. But I always go back to the movies. I'm like, this is because not more movies are being made of people of color or LGBT people or so on and so forth.
But is it that they're not being made, or is it like the Bob Marley movie that went like viral because it was so good and it was so well done that just premiered and
it was number one,
right?
Yeah.
Is it ever going to win an Oscar? So is it that
they're
not
chicken or the egg?
No, it's not that they're being made. Is that they're not being recognized enough? You know,
right?
So
yeah. I mean, I think it's a lot of different things.
Yes.
A lot of different things. It's the amount of work that's being made and the recognition.
Yeah.
There's certainly, I imagine, I mean, you know more about this than we do, that there is, an old guard there that is not letting go. Yeah.
Well,
I feel that way about
Academy
the Grammys, too. The Grammys, I'm like, I'll never forget, because everybody now makes a big deal about, like, the Beyonce not winning Album of the Year. I'll never forget
it was a good album.
Some years ago, this was in, like, the early aughts.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a bunch of like bangers nominated for Album of the Year, like total bangers and like critically acclaimed albums.
Yeah.
And the winner was Steely Dan. And I was like, Steely Dan? I don't even know one
and
song of
that. And props to Steely, but like, you're like, okay, who's behind the scenes here nominated?
Right.
So again, but if you pay attention to things like the Grammys, and there is, you know, we can criticize or we can be a part of the change. And what does that mean? Joining the, you know, the Academy. Joining the, you know, there's an entire Grammys commission. So so at the end of the day, if we want to be about a part of the process, we have to make sure we're actually a part of the process, not just complaining.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
We have to be proactive.
But isn't that the truth about everything?
Yeah. Kind of. Kind of. And it's not to say that you don't get X'd out, right? And like not even invited to the table. But if you're not invited to the table, the great thing about music is you get to make your own table and then you force people to listen to you.
Yeah.
So
the amount of people who are just SoundCloud artists.
Oh, yeah. And killing it.
And killing it. Like, I mean, I don't mean to say just SoundCloud artists. What I mean is like they're not on a label. They've got no record. It's literally just here's my track. And they're killing it.
Tyler Perry said something very important, and I followed his career for over 20 years now because I used to work in Tallahassee. That's where I got my start. But that's where he was also doing like his little chitlin run is what he used to call it of his plays. He specifically went to launch his plays in the chitlin circuit of markets. So that's like South Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, you know, places where there was a lot of, you know, places where the black church is very prominent. Mm-hmm. He specifically did that because he said, if I could get people to watch and embrace my plays, I wouldn't need to go to Hollywood. They'd come to me because, and so exactly what he did. He said, it's okay. He said he thrived because he was underestimated. He said, people would dog him out and say, no one's going to come to your stuff. There's no way. And then people would be wrapped around the movie theater and the theaters for those Tyler Perry plays. Mm-hmm. He said he went to Universal, I believe it was a time, or Fox Searchlight or something. And he said, hey, I've got this movie. I want to pitch you Diary of a Mad Black Woman. They were like, so he said he went in there and he made the deal. I don't know. I don't know how we're sliding into entrepreneurship, but it's a good nugget. So just listen.
Yeah.
So he said specifically, I remember this. He thrives under being underestimated because he went in there and he negotiated his way into $1 billion because they were like, okay, there's no way. There's no way that your little movie is going to make any money. Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, well, fine. Let's do this. Give me $1 million or whatever it was to make it. And if I do $100 million at the box office, I own the rights to all of the DVDs. And at this time, DVD was...
Right.
And they said, yeah. And that shit did $300 million in the first weekend. And now he's a billionaire. Because he then went on to make, and then he also said, and then you're going to fund 5 more of my movies. And here we are. So again, I don't know how we got here, but.
And he has a huge studio in Georgia. I mean, he built his reality.
Because
that studio that he built down there
it's
is like.
Insane.
Or up there.
So, yeah. I always say, Hollywood comes to Georgia to film because it's cheaper.
Yeah. No, I always say like, if you want to motivate me, like my biggest motivator is spite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
I will do something. If you say I can't do something, I'll be like, that's cute.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I will spite you, even if I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. No. And, I have to say, maybe I've had a little bit more growth, but definitely I thrived under that type of underestimation.
Yeah.
Back in my 20s, you know. Yeah. Just a couple years ago.
It's like that was yesterday.
It's a leap year. So
Exactly.
But he's a good example of somebody who created his own reality.
Yeah, you know? He is.
And he created something that like is so, in his case, so special for the black community. But then at the same time, something that everybody relates to and everybody enjoys his movies. Which that's a hard thing to do when you're doing something so culture specific that everybody can enjoy.
Yeah, but that's what we've said so many times on this show is if you want to appeal to the masses, quote unquote, and you're doing something in the realm of either Latino, LGBT, black, Asian, you have to be specific.
Yes.
Because
you have to niche down.
If not, you're this Latino
who goes to fiestas.
Right.
And loves things that are caliente.
Right. It's like, what does that mean? Right? Because you don't have a point of view.
Exactly.
If you have a point of view, that's why, I mean, it's almost cliche to say, but My Big Fat Greek Wedding, why was it such a hit movie?
Yeah.
Because it was so specifically Greek, but then we related to it, you related to it, Italians related to it, like everybody brought their own stuff.
And and everybody could identify with her or him, you know?
Right.
So, for sure.
Yeah.
Ah.
That movie was hilarious, so.
Yeah. But now, what are we at? My Big Fat Greek Wedding 7 or something?
Yeah. Listen, she's milking that all over the Acropolis.
Mad at her. Hopefully, make she that had money. A good contract, honey.
Make that money. Listen,
I'm on the other end now. One thing about me, I'm not messing. I am not shading on anybody else's coins. Go make your money.
Listen, as long as it's legit.
Yeah.
And you're paying your taxes.
Yeah.
Have at it.
There you go. Which is half the Miami commissioners here could never be in Hollywood because they don't make the pay their taxes. I'm just saying. Sorry to go there.
Yeah. No.
It's okay.
Well, that's also because they don't pay in Bitcoin.
Okay.
There you go.
Do you think we're Joe Got Oil fans here?
Oh boy. I don't take pleasure in a lot of stuff, but watching that unfold, and you know, I know the VO actor for Channel 7. Who just recently retired, and I remember when that broke. Tonight on Channel 7, WSBN, Miami Commissioner Joe Carollo is officially evicted. And I don't like to take... I was happy.
There's a bit of schadenfreude.
It was like, you know, sometimes, you know, you do wrong by people too many times.
Yeah. Things catch up.
You know that I...
Karma may take a
among
minute.
All the side gigs that I have...
Okay.
I also work...
Are you sure you're not Trini?
I also work in politics.
Okay.
And, you know, here on the show, we're not a political podcast, but when we've had to talk about politics because certain things are going on, we'll talk about it. And... a couple of years ago, when he was up for re-election, I didn't work on his opponent's campaign, but I knew people that did. And again, I run in political circles on the Democrat side, so I know what's going on more or less at all.
I was really rooting for that guy.
Yes, he was great.
Yeah.
And that's where I was going to. He canvassed every single door More than once.
Oh, wow.
And because he has a very small precinct.
Right.
It's like it's under so 10,000 people.
But it goes to show you like how important voting is, because 10,000 people in his district, and look how much power he has.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going at. So less than 10,000 people vote for that man. And look at the turmoil that we are all in because of a very small precinct.
Yep.
You know, because people always think like, oh, the general election, the president, all that. No. Of course, that's important.
It's the local elections that affect our daily lives. Yes.
And, you know, and we're being made a laughingstock because this is when stuff goes down in City Hall.
Oh, yeah.
It's put all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
Like that whole thing that he did a couple of years ago against Art Noriega, the Miami-Dade police chief, that he put the video of him in the Elvis suit. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
How do you think you're running a government with any decorum?
It's been a long record of him just always ready to throw hands down. Like he's ready to stand up and always trying to get in someone's face. Like, wait, don't you know that you work for us? I think that's they forget here. That.
I, oh, they, for they sure do. They forget that.
You know,
for sure.
So, if they ever knew.
Yeah, they, the people.
We need a like fresh start.
I don't know.
All across the board. I know. Like fresh.
Let's try to manifest that tonight on this podcast. A new fresh start in Miami politics. Because baby.
We're gonna light an altar of candles. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah. And we're Caribbean folks, so we know how to do that.
Yes. Ain't nobody gonna
And we got the chickens off Miami Avenue.
There you go.
In Overtown.
And there's coconuts somewhere.
And
we're fine.
Yeah.
We're good. Actually, in this house, we've always got chicken anyway.
Yeah.
Because of the side hustle. So.
That's true. Oh we'll gosh. Always have at least 30, 40 pounds of chicken in the freezer in the garage. So. Hey everyone, it's DJ. Yoye, you know we've been digging on Gawi Lemon Lime Soda for a bit now. The tart, sweet, bubbly taste of Gawi Lemon Lime is perfect for thirst quenching, and it's been a hit at all of our Ping Pong Boyo pop-ups. People love it. Not to mention, it's been a crisp, refreshing soda since 1948 without an aftertaste like some other sodas. Just saying. Así que, get your Gawi Lemon Lime at your store or even online. And if your store doesn't carry it, pues pídelo and start enjoying the authentically Cuban taste of Gawi Lemon Lime today. Gawi Lemon Lime, qué rico es.
Anyway,
are we thirsty?
I mean, I'm thirsty if you're thirsty. I don't know. Are you thirsty, Vanessa?
Let's do it.
All right, so...
Limón con lima, lima, limón. Lo trae Gawi, que vacilón. En la respuesta para este calor. Tómate un Gawi, lima, limón. Gawi!
Are you popping out? Are we popping jupinas? What are we doing?
Well, we can pop jupinas, but right, I mean, jupinas, gawis, materas, either of them is good. Actually, there's three of us, so one for each.
Okay.
Does not suck. So it's that time of the episode, I was going to say the week, where we give out our last gawi of the desert. Now, as the guest, we will let you go first.
I get to go first?
Yes.
My last gawi.
We were raised gentlemen.
Oh my God, I'm under so much pressure to go first. I don't know. Can I skip and come back?
Yes.
Okay, go. You go because I'm like I don't want to mess this up. It's got to be good.
So I want to give a kawi too, and we'll table back to Vanessa in a minute.
Okay.
I want to go to a kawi too because this will be fun to talk about. To Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
Did you see that Saturday Night Live cold opening last week where she did the whole
she's so amazing.
Katie Britt State of the Union rebuttal in the kitchen? Haven't seen it, Vanessa?
I haven't seen it. I have to go look.
Okay.
I haven't seen it. Okay, I was traveling. Okay, it's the only reason.
Right. So watch the original.
Okay.
Or just watch it.
I saw like a clip of the original. But,
watch a few minutes.
Okay. You've got enough to know.
If you could get through it, watch a few minutes and then watch Scarlett Johansson's.
Okay.
It is... You know what's so funny about this? That things happen now, especially in the world of politics, that when they happen, you know that that weekend, SNL is grabbing hold of that.
It's going to be amazing.
And the moment...
It's so true.
The moment, like, the whole country as a collective saw that rebuttal, everybody was like,
who's going to play her?
This is the cold opening of SNL, and they did not disappoint. It was so, so... hilarious how Scarlett Johansson, she went from being like your typical mom to like having that like terrifying face, like, but the immigrants, you know, the migrants.
The migrants.
And that's because of Joe Biden.
Yes.
But I love my kids.
Yes.
And I'm a soccer mom.
Yeah. Yes.
And again, she's got to,
Joe.
And she's got to do it in like 15 seconds or something because it's like rat a tat.
It was hilarious. Wild. But she sort of had a bad week, though, the senator, because she,
she went viral for all the wrong reasons.
For all the wrong reasons. Kitchen?
From the kitchen.
What is the kitchen?
Yes.
That kitchen looked generic on generic.
No. Was the kitchen AI?
That's what people are saying.
No, because they're that. The kitchen has no florals. There was no flour. Like, you know, the flour, sugar, coffee, black pepper, salt. ¿Dónde está la cosa?
I think it was maybe one of those Zoom backgrounds. AI
backgrounds. I'm not kidding. It does feel like the kitchen.
I never thought about
it.
You know what, though?
I never saw
SNL had
that.
The same background. So I'm thinking that, yes.
Well, but SNL could have probably just gotten the picture of her thing and green screened
that. But she was moving around. Scarlett Johansson. I don't know. Yeah. But I think maybe you're onto something. Okay. But it was funny because, you know, she thought she did such a good thing there in that rebuttal. Yeah. And then she started saying this story about this woman who... was like gang raped because of the cartels
I saw clips. I'm like, what is happening? What did I miss? Apparently,
she said
not much.
This whole story, and because it's Joe Biden's immigrant policies. And that's not to say that his policies on immigration are not up for scrutiny.
No, they should be.
They are. But she thought she had such a flex there. And then the woman came out and it's like, yeah, that's not exactly how it happened. No. And what did happen happened in 2004.
Oh my gosh.
It happened 20 years
before
ago.
The Obama administration.
It was during the Bush era. So, like, it's just a whole big mess. And SNL, of course, did a, you know.
Yeah. They always do a good job.
They always bring it.
They did a great job. So, SNL and, most importantly, Scarlett Johansson, you got my last Gowie.
Yes, Miss Colin Jost.
All right, what's yours? I can't believe they're married. They make such a fabulous couple, and, like, I would never put them together.
No. See, I think they're mismatched.
Do you?
Like visually.
Oh, well.
Visually, because she's such a like bombshell, but so like
Colin Jost is a vibe in real life. Like he's cool.
Oh, I have no doubt.
She's cool.
Yeah,
but in real life.
But I'm just saying, visually, she's like Black Widow bombshell, and then he's like, I'm the SNL Weekend Update guy. You know, I don't know. It's like
I feel you.
I wouldn't have put them together. Let's put it that way.
I feel you. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah.
He's still cute, but
yeah.
But yeah.
All right. What's yours?
All right. Well, my last Cowie. See, I'm actually going to go ahead and give my last Cowie to you.
To me?
Yes.
You make me look bad.
Oh my
God. No. It's okay. I'm giving it to you. Number one, thank you for coming by.
Thank
you. For, you know,
now stopping
by.
I do feel like I needed a Cowie and the guava wings, though. Like, you guys.
Well, we could definitely hook you up with the Cowie right now.
Okay.
Because we need a lot of Cowie.
We have downstairs.
We will. Okay. We'll hook you up with
for sure. For sure. But no, again, like I said earlier, you know, you're someone who's just like, you know what? I'm going to do this. Like you said, you know, you were at the beat. They changed formats. Yeah. You're like, let's pivot. Let's figure out.
We're
life.
Not moving out of Miami because they wanted to move me. And I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah,
I didn't want to move.
But you made your own lane.
Yeah,
you made your own lane, and that is something that I celebrate every day. And you're so damn good at it too.
Thank you.
I'm actually gonna. Can you be a little less good at it? Because you know it's hard.
Maybe in 20 years.
It's hard to keep up.
I'm giving myself 20 more years to get that house on the Venetian.
Okay.
All right. And then after that, we'll
goals.
See. Goals, right.
And that's great because by then you'll be 40.
Yes, and I'll be 40, and hopefully it's still there, not underwater. Because this is in Miami.
But that'll make it cheaper.
I think that's the worst.
Maybe it'll be cheaper.
No. Okay. Well, if you get it on stilts, anything is possible.
Yeah.
But again, thank you. I mean, I just wanted to give you the last Cowie. Thank you for coming by, but also thank you for just being so great representation of what you know you can achieve if you really just put your damn nose to the grindstone and do it.
I'm gonna be crying over here on the pedal, let me tell you. I can't.
Marcos told me
don't go on there crying.
I do have a history of making people inadvertently cry on the show.
Well, I'm gonna give my Cowie then to Miami.
Good one. We've never given a Cowie to Miami.
Our entire show is a love letter to Miami.
It is. I think that I'm giving a Cowie to Miami because although we got our things going on that we need to fix and we're clearly very welcoming, so now all these new people are here. Mm-hmm. I love the diversity that is this city. I really love the fact that I can, you know, pretty much any pocket of this entire, you know, space. It really invites you to just like rediscover something new. I always feel at home no matter where I go. It doesn't matter. For instance, yesterday I was at Historic Virginia Key. I was doing a walkthrough for my event, and Jerry, who works at the park, was sitting there. Jerry's Haitian, blasting compa. Mm-hmm. and I needed to ask a question. Dun, 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 dun. And I'm trying to get his attention. I couldn't get it. And I'm like, I go, let me dance. So I start dancing like this outside. Of, and then he's like, oh, what do you need? What do you need? What do you want? You know? So I do feel like we do hospitality like nowhere else. And sometimes we could come off a little stush until you get to know us. Mm-hmm. And that's what, like, the diversity of Miami makes us so special. I hope we never lose that, mm-hmm. you know? And there's a lot of connectiveness here that I don't really feel like you get in other places, except the Caribbean, of mm-hmm. course, you know. That's my other cow.
We're the Northern Caribbean.
Ooh, I like that.
Everything that you said, I so feel that because, like, for example, last week I mentioned something on the podcast and I did a little video of it, how I went to a big box store and I was looking for paper fasteners.
Okay.
And three of the ladies at work there did not know what it was.
Oh.
And they barely spoke English.
Okay.
And I wasn't mad at it. I was like, you know, where in the else in the country does this happen? Now they all looked at me like, ¿qué? ¿Qué? That's pero exactly qué? How it was. ¿Qué? Pero tú estás seguro que eso lo venden aquí? Like, what? And I was like, I'm not mad at you. I'm not. No. I'm not. And
did then you I went, find them?
I found them because I went on the store's website, so I got the SKU number.
Digo, and I, eso. Estoy
and she put it in. She's like, I see, está allí. And I was like, you know, I'm not mad at this. I started to laugh.
I speak very conversational. I can get through a pachanga at the Cuban's house for Nochebuena easily with all the tías that I've never met. And I can go to the market and buy things.
Right.
But again, in Miami, we just have a way of communicating. I can communicate.
And somehow it works.
It works. Somehow it definitely works.
It works. So,
because I don't know how to say paper fastener in Spanish.
No.
So...
Tú no. sabes la cosa que, you know,
la cosa que hace así para el papel. Eso. What? ¿Qué?
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, well, this was fun. We need to have you on the show again, Vanessa, as co-host.
I would love to. I mean, now I feel like
you didn't know this, but you're now in the rotation for, you know, co-host.
Okay.
If one of us can't make it,
I love that.
So just heads up,
you've joined the short list.
Yes.
Okay.
Along
okay.
with Lucy Lowe. Yeah.
Okay.
I think Lucy down. Has co-hosted like three times.
3 times. Yeah.
Has
yeah.
she?
Yeah.
All right. I'm so down.
Hey, Lucy, one of us is out. Like, can you come over?
What are you doing? Are there gowies?
Yeah. Yes. Always. There will be. You're going home with some gowie today. So, anyway, everybody, this was a lot of fun. Thank you again, Vanessa, for being with us. We hope you listened, laughed, and learned. And as always, remember to grab your croqueta, your pastelito, and your gowie. And thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great, great weekend. Right. See you all next week.
Bye.
Pero Let Me Tell You is co-hosted by Darian Borges and Ismael Llano, produced by Ismael Llano, and our theme, Pero Let Me Tell You Freestyle, is composed by Michelangelo Lomlaplex, the official gay guy. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.